Welcome to A Course in Miracles. You know, we might be called seekers. Everybody here might be called a seeker. That is a spiritual term. People who are open to changing what they know. They are willing to question what they think they know. We call them seekers, seeking for the truth. We could be called seekers. You've heard that saying, lest ye be as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. It's in the Bible. It's in this book. It's redefined in this book a little bit, but still. Children, quality of a child, is that the child, young child, knows that he doesn't know and asks, seeks. Open, say, what is that for? Why is the sky blue? And notice it's always blue. It isn't any other color. So suddenly the question honestly dawns on that innocent mind. Until they become a teenager, then they know everything. You have to ask them their opinion. We could all be called seekers. If your mind is open, you qualify as a seeker. Remember last week, in the last couple of weeks, we've done some ego busting. Trying to catch you on your opinion of other people that you already have preloaded. These judgments that come up so quickly because they just seem so obvious. The section we're reading is called Sin as an Adjustment. Sin just meaning the practice of separation. The belief in duality is absolutely necessary. That's what sin is in this book. There's no sin in the way of, you know, like an unforgivable mistake. That doesn't exist in this book. But you'd have to be open-minded to be a seeker. You'd have to be really willing to not know some of the things you really, really believe you know. Maybe you've trusted your whole life. Yes, ye be as little children. Little children can learn. They can grow, and they do fast. So that's what we want to challenge tonight. We want to challenge tonight this assumption of what we already know. And in particular, I'd like you to open your mind as a seeker. Now, this is really going to be fighting words to your ego. But anybody here who's been here more than once and carrying this blue book is ready for this.
It's blue?
Yeah, I think it's blue. Are you ready to appeal to an authority? It's okay if you're not. But it's really easy if you are. Let's just think about that, okay? As a seeker. Let's take a few moments and think about this. I'll kind of walk through it a little bit.
What was the question?
Well, I'll run you through it. Are you willing to appeal to an authority? I mean, really, a little scary there, right? That's the question. But first I want to ask you to locate in yourself, to identify, to see, find out if you're a seeker. If you're an open-minded, if you are a seeker. If you know there's more to know. Are you a seeker? Are you open-minded? it's the same as to say, are you willing to let go of what you knew before? If something true comes along that lifts your heart and lifts your mind, are you a seeker? Are you eager, even, to welcome the truth? Really? Now, I know you are. I know you'd like to see more love and get an idea of what this God concept is. Okay. But are you willing to let go of what you know about you? This is my real question. Are you willing to listen, look for even an authority about what you are? Are you willing to be as a little child who doesn't know and will be happy to learn what that other person in your life really is? Are you willing to let go of all the ideas and fixed judgments, good or bad, that you've built around that person? Are you a seeker there? And if so, and finally, what is an authority on such a topic? What does that mean, an authority? Take a few minutes and we'll sit with this and just come up with a word or a phrase that qualifies something or somebody to be an authority. Just a word or a phrase. Share with the group. And before we go into that, you might spend just one more second here with, are you an authority on what your brother is, in truth? Do you already know, with certainty, the truth about yourself and about your brother? And now come up with a word or a phrase that describes for you what qualifies something to be an authority. Or someone. You know, this is kind of an important reset to do every once in a while. Remember, we say that perhaps the only or the most honest thing that could ever pass your lips, your human lips, the utterance that you could say that perhaps would be the truest, most spiritually advancing thing you could ever say out of your own mouth.
I don't know.
Bingo! The new guy said that! High five, fist bump.
No ego.
I do not know. Last thing the ego wants to say. Ego's weak. Ego's strong by knowing things, being healthier, wealthier, and wiser.
So, measuring things.
Yes, knowing things, measuring things. So as we learn with A Course in Miracles, especially when you're in trouble, try thinking the opposite of what the ego is about to do. Whatever the ego thought the most clever thing to do was, can you do the exact opposite? You'd be amazed at the results. Especially in relationship. Ego tries to get very clever in relationship, and it builds up this argument with all these details about the past, who's going to lay on you something that's going to help the future. So clever. Exact opposite of that may be the most appropriate thing to do during conflict. I don't know, but let's figure it out together. Let's look at it and see if there's something else we could do that would make us both happy. Ego's like, yes, you know exactly what to do. So here we have, in this paragraph we're going to read tonight, it's going to highlight the contrast, a little bit of the contrast between what the Course calls a special relationship and the holy relationship. Or the unholy relationship and the holy relationship. Or the relationship of competition among multiple versus the relationship of union to one. However you want to say it, it's all the same division. But, as we've been reminded many a time, for you to go from that clever ego who knows exactly what to say to being open-minded and listening perhaps to an authority like A Course in Miracles or your own right mind, you would need a miracle. You really would. Because that ego is so fast, so clever, so preloaded, it wants to speak first. And then if you've got anything to say from A Course in Miracles in about a half an hour from now, you can say it then. But right now, I'm going to let you have it. To just be quiet. You're going to need a miracle, a shift in perception about what it's all for. Why am I even here in this relationship in the first place? Or what am I? What am I that would participate in this situation? Those kind of big questions. You might need an authority who actually knows. To say I do not know would be a huge advance. But it's very, very unsettling unless there's an authority that does know. Otherwise, it's just fear. I do not know is emptiness. And then you're left with nothing, no strength. The Course tells us many times, he says, well, that's not what happens. I know you think it is. But as we've read many times, by your willingness to say, I do not know, leaving an open space for the Holy Spirit who does know, that's exactly how you call on the Holy Spirit. You actually have your ego step aside. And in that shining silence, in that quiet, still space, in comes a strength you know not from where, but it's peaceful, and that's a difference from the ego. That's how you know you're following the Holy Spirit, because a sense of peace comes over you. You feel like you're being pulled instead of pushed. It's pretty dramatic when you get used to the distinction. So first let's learn a little bit about what it takes to qualify for something to be an authority. Bridget, what's a quality of somebody who's an authority?
Someone who has a lot of information.
Okay.
About it.
Okay.
And it seems though it goes awry somewhere where they get the ego going and there's the authority figure, and it kind of can get power.
Can get a little resentful over all that information, smarty pants.
Yeah.
But let's just hit that quality of information. Honestly, one who's an authority who's so familiar with the situation that no matter how you turn it, they know something about it. Information, sure.
But yeah. Then you can't know everything about, you know, someone that says they know everything about it. There's always something you don't know.
Uh-huh. But still, an authority knows these a lot. A lot. Yeah. Leah, what's the quality of an authority?
I came up with two words, overseer and expert.
Ha! Nice. Overseer. Want to tell us about overseer? What's an overseer?
Well, I think the common response to my nervous system when I think of authority is I think police is the first thing, you know, that someone that is the holder of the rules.
Uh-huh.
And therefore the judger of those breaking the rules.
Ah.
And that seemed kind of punitive.
But still,
I'm trying to stay open-minded.
There's a quality of power there. There's a quality of power.
Differential, maybe.
Yeah, that's interesting. Authority.
But then another thought came in, is just because someone has authority doesn't mean that that's bad.
Right.
Doesn't mean that that's punishing. That's why I thought overseers, when the overseas, perhaps helps people.
Keeps everything working.
Keeps the sheep together.
The sheep have water. They're together. Yeah. They're guarded from the fox.
Right.
The shelter is provided. The overseer of the sheep is the best thing ever happened to him.
Yeah.
And the overseer knows when the sheep should be brought in because here comes a lightning storm.
Right.
Thank you, overseer. Mm-hmm. Good. Good. That power. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's got to be a lot of facets to someone who is in a position of authority.
Yeah.
And you can look at it in lots of different ways. You can either look up to it, or you can look down upon it.
Yeah. Let's take the expert now. That's kind of what Bridget said. The expert, somebody who knows a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you, if you're not a complete expert, you're going to have to guess. Well, you don't know. So you'd make a mistake with the expert and say, oh, no, this, then that. Everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Expert, mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Matt, what's the quality of an authority?
I don't think I really came up with anything more than what was said here. I thought wisdom, and then there was a quality of power in the sense of driving, like some sort of force that drives one in a particular way. Like an authority drives someone, drives a person towards a correct outcome or something of that.
Yeah, well, let's take that back to the wisdom. Wisdom is a huge term. Wisdom is beyond knowledge. Wisdom is right use of knowledge. Knowledge is not enough. Because you can know a lot about something and still drive it right off a cliff.
Right.
Wisdom knows how long it takes to stop it at any speed. Wisdom knows about the situation. Yeah, wisdom makes a very good overseer, a very good caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
Wise caretaker of the sheep. So wisdom is a wonderful quality of an authority you can trust is wise.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, good. Ray, what's a quality of an authority to you?
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, I like what's being said over there, but what came to my mind is I thought authority, and I thought, well, maybe it's a master author.
yeah. Yeah, how about author? Master author? No. How about the author?
The author.
The most masterful author is the author. That's it. Nobody knows more than the author.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knows more than the author. Has all the information because he's the author. Whew. You get access to that. You have access to everything there is to know. Now we're not hoping that they got the right education and they're a really good expert. You can't be more of an expert than the author. A master author. Yeah. Ooh, that's appealing to all of it. Julie, what's the quality of an authority for you?
Well, in ego terms, I was a little stuck too because of negative power dynamics. But in my spiritual practice, for me, the authority is the one that knows, that has an awareness above what I do, like that's above the battleground, and that big picture that I can't see.
Nice.
So I guess like a expanded awareness.
See, this is very practical. This is very practical. The authority for Julie is one who is ahead of her. Not requiring the perfect degrees or that they can prove that they're the author even. Just ahead of her. And she can respect that as an authority. Very practical. Very practical. And indeed. Yeah. Yeah, we not want to appeal to somebody who has less experience than you. That's not the authority.
Yeah.
Kim, what's an authority? What's a quality of an authority for you?
Well, I was thinking that we're on a human level, we're all made up of so many different facets, actually on a spiritual level too. We're so many different facets, and in order to be complete, we have to have all of those pieces. And if a piece is missing, we need to seek somebody that can help us find that piece. So, like, on this plane, Julie can be an authority for me, and I can be an authority for Julie. It just depends on what we need from each other. But in my, like Julie, in my spiritual life, the authority is way bigger than I am. It's the other side of I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's the other side that no other human being can help me find. And I know that there is no human being that can help me find that. These runes can help me sort of guide me into that place, but ultimately it's the Holy Spirit that is the missing piece that I need.
Very good.
I crave.
You're also very practical.
Yeah.
Not the words of a 19-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. These are the words of a woman who has searched and sought and tested authorities and spiritual seeking and says, this is not human. Mm-hmm. What I seek is not human. Mm-hmm. It is not measurable. It's not going to be in this book. Mm-hmm. This book or these rooms will point toward your Holy Spirit, the part of you connected to the truth, and is to this you shall appeal with success. And I know you have. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been there. And I've seen you smile and laugh to tears, saying, I busted my ego and I'm free. I've seen you say that. Mm-hmm. Because you followed that pointer. And said, aha, I found the authority. Not only was it peaceful, it's joyful. Mm-hmm. Joy to the level of answering my call for joy. Mm-hmm. You were answered. And then you brought it here and shined it on all of us a few times.
Mm-hmm. And it's free.
It's free. Ooh, is an authority free? A real authority? Ooh. Interesting. Kenny, what's the quality of authority to you?
Compassionate authority.
Yeah. Compassionate. Yeah.
I ran into one today.
Yes?
I couldn't get my tractor to work. It's a modern tractor and all kinds of technology. Couldn't get it. So I had a phone number. And I called the guy. He's got a good script. I knew it was a battery. You know, battery was dead. I couldn't figure it out. He compassionately asked me what brand, the model. Mm-hmm. You know, sit in the seat. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit in the seat. Mm-hmm. Where's the PTO button? I don't know where the PTO. What does it look like? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Put it in neutral. It's in neutral. Mm-hmm. It started. Compassionate.
Ah. Compassionate, patient, understanding, not believing your story.
No.
Wanted to sound like he was believing your story, but he knew you needed to sit there and actually check for neutral. Yeah. Let's make sure the PTO's disengaged. Let's do a couple of things that he knows.
Yeah.
He knows a couple of things have to be switched, and then it could start. Let's just find out if it can start before the...
Yeah.
Beautiful. Because there's... All of these qualities were in that person. We had knowledge, we had wisdom, customer service wisdom. This person is authorized from the authority of the tractor itself with the training on how to guide a customer through. Well, make sure these four or five things are in place first before they turn the key. Compassion. That's interesting because compassion allows you to overcome your closed-mindedness and actually follow the wisdom. Mm. Compassion is very kind. That's good. Yeah, that's an authority you could follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do that to myself, too.
Yeah?
This is going to work, this is going to work, it's not going to work, it doesn't work. fight myself.
Close-minded.
Yeah.
Yes.
Close-minded.
Because you know.
Yeah.
Dead battery. You know it's a dead battery. Of course it's dead battery.
Yeah.
What else could it be? It's nothing right. else.
That's I know awkward. I got 12 hacksaws. I couldn't find one last night.
Where do you live? Are you going to hack your trailer?
I found 7 of them.
Carol, what's the quality of an authority for you?
Well, I came to them thinking of it in completely in spiritual terms. That's beyond knowledge, beyond knowing.
Okay.
And total peace and eliciting respect.
Yes.
But beyond. Just beyond. Beyond.
My favorite spiritual words.
Mm-hmm. Just beyond.
Beyond.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it kind of fits right with Julie. Julie says, if they're beyond me, I have to admit that they're an authority more than me. And the more the better. She says, but you know what? If I'm in need, just find me. Anybody who knows more than me. And that's pretty practical. Just beyond. And then Kim says, well, really, for our spiritual discussion, it's beyond human. She knows human. We all know human. We all know the limits and the drives and the motives, and as nice as you want to be, human nature is human. So beyond. If you're beyond the limits of the physical, you might be an authority on the spiritual, on how to heal the physical addiction. Mary, what's the quality of an authority for you?
Well, I'm thinking about this book, and I did not start out with the idea that this was authoritative. I guess I thought I could learn something, but I was kind of dubious.
Okay.
In the past, I couldn't get into it at all.
Yeah.
But as I'm doing the kinds of things, changing my thinking as recommended, it's really changing the quality of my life. And just a simple thing like if I'm having a thought that I can see as a negative thought, just say, oh, that doesn't mean anything. Oh my goodness. You know, this peace just kind of comes in. And that negative thought just drifted off just by saying that.
Just by saying that.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Amen. Yeah, I guess.
Amen. Everybody been there, right?
It's
little miracle.
Working. I guess mm-hmm. I'm thinking of it as an authoritative, whatever we're calling it here.
Yeah.
Book and it's
because it works.
It's working. Yeah, it's working.
There's a test. There's a huge test for something qualifies as an authority. Does the advice work?
Mm-hmm.
If your tractor started, you said, this young punk is going to tell me how to start my tractor with a dead battery by sitting in the seat, which I've done, by checking the which I've done. But the compassion beat you down, and you said, sweet enough, I'll do what this little punk says before I make him send me a new battery. And the results worked.
Oh, clearly.
Wow! Clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can read all the frustration that I found in myself with my life before Course in Miracles saying, I wish I knew this sooner. I wish I didn't have to go through all of the head banging that I did before I just went through the simple lessons of you could choose peace right now instead of this. Try it just for a minute. Try choosing peace, even though it looks bad. And if it doesn't work, all your misery will be refunded instantly. that's the sales pitch.
It's always there for you.
It's always waiting there for you. That's the sales pitch for Course in Miracles.
Andrew, yes. Just writing an email, like I did it today. I was writing an email, and there was like one sentence, and I thought, that sentence is not... It's not going to do any good. It's not building anybody up. It's making an insinuation ever so subtly, and I don't need to put that sentence in there, and I just take it out. And how much better that makes you feel as a person to take out.
Yes.
It's really inconsequential,
oh, yeah.
Really.
Oh, yeah.
But it has no value to it.
It's an attack.
Yes.
It's an attack, even as subtle as it possibly could be.
Yes.
And so,
but
to be able to recognize those things and how much better you feel for recognizing them and being able to just take them out and be your true authentic self.
And wherever that email was going, it was not an attack. And therefore, whoever read it did not have to defend themselves.
Right. Well, I hope so.
We can only hope, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes you
see
listen,
what they want to see, but
you listen to your Holy Spirit there, which said, "I want peace more than anything else." And that's not quite peaceful as I want to be.
Right.
Out. This is part of the practicality of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is the miracle is already in place. The miracle is in place. It says, "If I change my mind, I have a better experience." Right. So you've already got the miracles in spades. We all need to do more forgiveness. Forgiveness is following up now on the miracle that we know to be true, which in this case, don't attack. Life's better when you don't attack. That's kind of a miracle to find out that by raising your voice and beating somebody in submission, it's not the yes that you want. You may get your yes today, but it's not the one you really want. It's a miracle to say, I don't want that yes. I'm shifting my perception now. I want a cooperative yes. I want a peaceful yes. That's all different, right? So the miracle, the peace is in place for you. The peace preference is for you. The forgiveness act is what you did by deleting that line.
Mm-hmm.
That's releasing whatever that thought was in that sentence, saying, as Julie would have said over your shoulder, that's an attack! I can tell from here, Kim, don't do it! Kim, I didn't mean it as an attack. Julie, it's an attack!
You just attacked me.
You can't say that to her.
Right?
Good. Good. Very good. That's how it works. And there's no going back, Mary.
Oh, no desire to go.
The hell, yeah, right?
Prefer feeling good.
Yes. So this is an authority now on peace for you. And that 1-800 tractor number, it's a legitimate authority for Kenny. He says, you know what? It's okay. If they tell me to repaint it and then try, I'm going to repaint. Because that's the thing. The compassion, they showed, and he was humbled. Gratefully.
I just want to say one more thing. I was looking, I was across the room just looking at this book, and I thought, what I need is right there.
Wow.
I need to go hunting somewhere
else.
Wow. It's in here.
Wow.
And I'm getting, it's coming.
Yes. Yes, I've spent now 26 years and looked at all sorts of other books along the way. And even other books that I have found, which have some wonderful things and teachers and books, they're just a few pages in here. I know where that Eckhart Tolle thing is, and it's about this. Here it is. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's in here in order. Yeah, definitely worth the investment for me.
So it's become an authority just right here, this nice package.
Because it works.
It works, and I'm getting more I'm grasping it more easily. At first, I just kind of like, what is this?
Yes, yes, yes. Ooh, yeah, so what's that? So it works, and it is, it has this knowledge, it has this wisdom, it has more to give. It's beyond. It's even beyond. Yeah, whatever that, capture that depth of knowledge. Yeah, that's my experience too. Still, is that my next, this has answers to the questions I haven't asked yet, but I will, and I need to. The questions I need to ask that I haven't had the guts to ask, they're here. The answers are here. I can't believe it. It's happening, just yesterday's meditation.
What I like about it is it says in the book, So Many Words, that this book will take you so far. It's not an end in itself.
Yes, yes.
It's just a kind of introduction into change.
Right.
Ultimately, and you'll be in the good hands of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And this allows you to know that. And proceed into oneness.
Yes.
That's about as generalized as I can.
Yeah, but it's true. It says it's not the end. It's a handoff. It allows you to have a wonderful beginning. It's nice. Luann, what's the quality of an authority for you?
Well, the for you part is the part that's interesting to me. Because the quality of an authority for me is whatever that knows me well enough to know when I need to be answered and what the answer will be when I need to be answered. And I used to call that the creative source, and now I call it the Holy Spirit. Everybody who I can go to who'll give me an answer about something is fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're...
A usable answer would be nice. Something I can use now with where I am.
Absolutely. And it's usually very... I mean, the book comes at me as this voice almost all the time, because I've said all often, the synchronicity of this with things in my life is unbelievable.
Yes.
But if I really don't know, for instance, about my brother, all I have to do is say, okay, I don't know what to do now. I don't know how to think about this. And the Holy Spirit gives me words for it that I can use. So it doesn't give me words for things that I'm not going to be able to comprehend or that I'm not going to be able to feel confident in.
Wow.
It's always something that, oh, yes, of course.
What I'm hearing there is trust.
Yeah.
Because you said usable, but it like you point at Kenny, and then you're like, and I don't know if they know, right? So it's like I just appreciate like how, like that. I didn't think of that word in my meditation, but that is what I feel about the Holy Spirit as well.
It's just the only thing I really, really completely say knows me well enough to always say exactly what I need to hear.
Knows me well enough to always say exactly what I need to hear.
And since it's a voice for God, I know it comes from God. So what bigger authority could there be?
That's one of my early, when I started reading this book, I recognized that whatever this book is, it knows me better than I know me.
Mm-hmm.
I will listen.
That's how come it feels like the Holy Spirit is talking to me every time I read something. And I don't always completely, I'm on the 160s right now.
Okay.
And every time I get to a new one, I say, okay, am I ready for this? And then I say, well, I'm here, so I guess I am. It feels like I wouldn't be here if I weren't.
And then isn't it nice that when you get the courage to go to the next lesson after hanging on 4 days to 159 that 160 is so kind. It actually refers to 159 and it has a little more information for you to help. Isn't that a wonderful discovery?
I did spend 4 days on 159. I wrote a book.
Nice, yeah.
In my journal about it. Because
isn't it compassionate?
Yeah.
How it really does lead you day to day.
And as Julie said, there's trust. It's not going to push me too fast for me to keep up.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, everybody who's going through the workbook, it's difficult going through the first time, especially when you're as you're analytical as I am and as Luann is, and most people here are, is that you really have to trust it's okay to go to the next lesson. There is information in the lesson you're reading that is beneath you, and there's information probably that's beyond you. There's like, I don't know, I think it's 7 levels, maybe more, one day I'll figure this out, in A Course in Miracles. There's multiple levels of teaching. It should be 7 different books. They're all crunched into one. Every time I go through this and I find another level of understanding in the most simple lessons, but I can now see it in the paragraphs that I've already highlighted. I say, whoa, I never saw that before.
For instance, the 160, I'm on 167 now, are all about, I am now ready to be a messenger. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking rather than just knowing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, I hope the Holy Spirit knows what it's talking about.
You know why? You know what basis of that, for just to drop on that for a second? It's metaphysics of A Course in Miracles. It's not this ego wants to say, well, I better know something before I can speak. Essential teaching of A Course in Miracles, the law of mind, the law of love, the law of spirit, is as you give, you receive. You must be a messenger. You must start giving.
Well, in order to know what I'm finding is I'm using it with my clients now.
Okay.
And when I first thought of the idea of using this with the clients, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get the wrong impression every single time. And then here I am doing it, and I'm doing it.
Nice.
And they don't seem to mind.
Nice. Well, you know, you will feel peaceful and empowered if you're listening to your Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for like 30-some years, one way or another.
Good. Absolutely. Good.
The creative source.
Cecily, what is a quality of an authority for you?
Well, I've had a lot more thoughts since it's gone around the room here, and I went straight to the, like, I think Mary said, straight to the spiritual aspect of it, but I look at the difference between, I feel like there's 2 conflicting authorities in my life, which is the ego versus the Holy Spirit, right? And we talked about this in this class, and like you've said, the ego speaks first and speaks loudest, and the Holy Spirit is this kind of quiet authority that you have to like push all the noise out to hear, right? And we were talking about this last week with like Bridget saying, you know, like she'll be quiet for a while, and then it's like, okay, is it story time? Like, what do I do with my mind now? You know, and I find that it's hard to be patient and quiet enough to hear the authority of the Holy Spirit. Like, it's challenging because I feel like the ego is constantly trying to pull me back in. You know, like I'll have all these thoughts, and there's either a thought that there's something bad that I need to like attend to and like think about and protect myself from, or there's something good that I'm missing out on that I need to think about and plan for. Those are like the 2 different categories.
I think that's great.
And it's like huge discipline to not just slip back in my mind and go play around with those 2 things. And
what's that? How does this book begin? What are those first couple of words on page 1 in italics? It says, nothing real can be threatened, and nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And then it spends 1,300 pages explaining that. That's where you are. And all of us are, of course. But what's beautiful is you're narrowing it down to just one or the other. And you're seeing that contrast beautifully. One is defensive and practiced in the world. The other says, I'm not going to defend. I'm going to pursue peace, happiness, joy, love, strength. A strength.
All the things that we're deep when we defend, we think we're going after.
Well said. Perfectly said.
It also reminds me of like the forgotten song, like I feel like when I'm really quiet and I'm resisting the temptation to go think about problems or think about things I want to do, that I'm missing out. Yes. I feel hugely like, oh, I'm missing out.
Yes, yes. Leads to one of the ego's favorite weakness buttons, which is lack.
Yep.
And lack is just a slight idea for loss. Because what it's really feeling is loss. And loss is just a wimpy way to hide what's really underneath it, which is death. Complete loss. And all that is, you want to see where it says it in a pretty quick way? Turn to lesson 21. And it's like on page 30 or so in the workbook. And just look at this one sentence. Remember, you know, Course in Miracles is, it gets simpler and simpler the more you study it. And there's a couple of extreme sentences that help you see clearly the simplicity of what's happening here. So it's page 32 in the workbook, paragraph 2, and it's sentence 5.
Yep. Underlined.
You will become increasingly aware that a slight twinge of annoyance, like a little feeling of lack, what am I missing, what I coulda, shoulda, had, or done, a slight twinge of annoyance is nothing but a veil drawn over intense fury. And then that leads to an attack, if you follow it, on yourself or somebody else. The stark truth. Yeah, this little lack, there's no little lack thought. That's just, it is a veil drawn over intense fury. Good. And you're all over it. You know that is either, it's the difference between dark and light, happiness and depression. Yes, they're different. Good, Cecily. What's an authority? What's the quality of an authority?
The one word I was trying to do that, I just thought of truth.
Truth will do. Truth will do. I think, as you've illustrated with your yin yang here, truth. You've got defense, or you have got love.
Well, I mean, I see it as like, you know, all, it's all in like the mind, right? Like it all just comes out in our mind. Like my mom was last week, she had this, you know, cancer scare or whatever, and she's calling everybody in the world, and you know, it could be this and it could be that, and you know, sending me papers and studies and you know, who's going to come stay with her, and just living out this whole scenario.
Uh-huh.
And I was really aware that I didn't want to get sucked into that, and she was mad at me for not going into that illusion with her.
Yes.
She thought I was being insensitive.
Yes.
And then she got some other test, and everything's fine. And so now she went from, like, this one imaginary illusion of how things are going to be to, like, this other.
Yeah.
And nothing changed. Nothing happened. It was all just, like, you know, mind travel.
Mind travel, story, fantasy.
Yeah. Like, absolutely nothing changed. And so, and I see that, like, that's what, like, I get sucked into is creating stories.
So in that moment of uncertainty about the cancer with your own mother, The truest statement that you could pass over your lips is, I do not know of this cancer. Bring you to peace. Might bring her to peace. I walked a friend through the same thing. She got a scan on her breast and it was bad. And I said, but didn't they say they need to have you back for another higher resolution? Yes, they did, but nothing. Until you have all the results, you can't even pretend to know. And I, you know, this tear stopped and the breathing returned. And sure enough, the test came in. But no, sorry, we had a shadow. It was nothing.
I had a huge growth in my stomach somewhere at one time about 6 years ago. And I have a group of women who are my therapy group, my therapist.
Yeah.
And every time I come, they say, how are you right now? Aren't you afraid? They go around, mm-hmm. How come you're not? And I said, all it is the growth. I haven't got a clue what it is. And I was not a bit afraid, and it turned out it wasn't cancerous at all. It was just removed.
Yes. So the authority was not fear. The fantasy story that there was a problem was not your authority, and the truth, it was your authority, and you're waiting for the truth to show up. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I mean, the doctors didn't know what it was, so why would I think?
Honestly,
it was?
Brother John, what's a quality of a authority for you?
I don't know. The Holy Spirit, whatever the Holy Spirit says.
Whatever he says.
Whatever the Holy Spirit says it is, I know. I mean, I can't just sit here and tell you what that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's, you know, because some other authority might override that. And so, more and more these days, I try to give any uncertainties to the Holy Spirit. And, because if I say anything, it's going to be usually probably going to come out of my ego in an indirect way. So, I can't just count on, you know. A lot of stuff comes out of my mouth. There's stuff from my ego.
Give us one quality of the Holy Spirit, then, that is the authority for you.
A feeling of peace.
Peace.
That goes along with it. With any message, with any idea.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
It's not like that I'm, and I wish I was more connected to the Holy Spirit, but it's not like I believe that I've got, like, you know, a conduit to God,
yeah.
You know, happening every day at all times. I'm not like that yet.
Sure.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But you have something to appeal to.
Yeah,
you have a peaceful place to appeal
to. Yeah, I've had enough experiences where I have real problems.
Yes.
And then trying to work it out, think my way through it, and I got to deal with anger and all this stuff.
Yeah.
A few times I've just given it to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Just jumped it.
Yeah.
That's this.
And yeah. Then, right.
And then about a minute later or so, I'll get a feeling of peace.
Wow.
You know, I've, it's just amazing.
Wow.
And
that's a quick fix.
Yeah. And so I just stopped worrying about it. And, you know, of course, whatever it was worked itself out.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know that the Holy Spirit can work in my life.
Yes.
Without me even knowing it.
Yes.
And it's probably better that I don't.
Yeah.
So, what I can say with any authority is the Holy Spirit can.
Yeah, nicely said.
And will guide
me. You bet. Nice. Thank you. Dawn, what's the quality of an authority for you?
Love. I used to be the higher authority.
Yeah.
I was the only thing out there. I was so selfish and so self-seeking, and just everything was about me. Now it's just I don't even know. Just today I had an experience out in the woods, and after class today, one of my teachers said something. You know, she's just like, so one of my classmates said, you know, you're really smart. She was watching me do stuff on the computer, and I was like, no, like, I ended up beginning from my teacher's like, yeah, own it or something. And all of a sudden I'm walking and I just started crying, bawling my eyes out, and I just went out and I just was like, whoever's up there, whoever's there, just, and I felt this love come through me that I've never.
Yeah. Nice. That's one of the huge.
I don't know how to explain it. It was like.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You're doing great.
It was all. It was like I was connected with every single thing, and I merged with everything, and Like, this is something, like, I felt like I was on drugs, like, and I started crying, and I just got on my knees, and I'm like, thank you. Just, I've been giving everything. I even made, like, a God box, or whatever you want to call it, and, like, the things that come into my path now, I just take them and give it to God. Give it to Holy Spirit, whoever speaks to me, but I have... I feel like I am connected so strong right now, and it's always, you know, it changes where some days I feel like I'm so connected, like I'm just going to blow up. Like, my body's just going to explode, and I'm going to turn into everything. And like, but today was just so loving. I cried for like 4 hours today. I haven't cried like this in years. And my daughter called me, and we were both crying together. And she's coming out here, and that's one of the things I got. I'm worried about that, but... Yeah. Put that in the God box, and it's all supposed to work out. And
nice.
It's just love. It's all I felt. There's warmth around me today that I wish I could explain it. It's so intense.
Nice. Permission to release. This love that you felt gave you permission to cry it out.
Yeah.
Permission to release. And John too, for he, John has a safe place to take his problems. No matter what they are, he has a place to take them. This love that you described seems powerful enough to handle any problem that could come up. Unless your daughter's a teenager, then just good luck.
21.
She's 21. All right.
She's going through her awakening.
We're going to give you the hotline there for a minute, but I guess you're going to be okay. All right, let's jump in and see what Course has for us tonight on page 430, paragraph 8.
In the text.
In the text. Thank you very much.
Did you say paragraph 8?
Paragraph 8 on page 430. Okay. And I just want you to read the first sentence of paragraph 7, which we studied last week. Before we read paragraph 8, and it starts with, seek not to make the Son of God adjust to his insanity.
His being anybody.
That's right. Anybody, including you.
Yes.
But mostly this other person you're dealing with. And you're trying to understand what the heck they think they're doing. By saying this or doing that, I mean, I'm trying to work with you here. Seek not to make them adjust to their insanity, which is part of the teaching that we have. Somebody here was talking about sickness. But
a little bit.
Cecily
was about her mother.
Yes, Cecily about her mother. Yes, it's one of the beautiful teachings we get from A Course in Miracles is that the healing that you would participate in with somebody who's sick or thinks that they're sick is that you don't share their idea of sickness for themselves. They have an idea of sickness. The person on the phone with Kenny did not share his idea about a dead battery. Kenny was sure he had a cancered battery. Right? For sure. That's what it is. I know what it is. I've been driving around enough of that battery. Just give me a new one. Verify that I'm right. So at least I know I'm right. That's what the phone call started out to be. And this cancer has this problem that way too. People get sick. And A Course in Miracles calls you out on sickness. Wait, do you see? Once you start reading this book with sickness, it's all over the book. And it says that sickness is actually a great way for you to be special.
Oh boy, I better believe that.
Yeah. It's really clever ego way to make you special if you're sick. Because you're going through a difficulty that other people don't, that other people aren't suffering. No, it's just you are suffering just this way.
But you know what? The opposite can be really bad too, because I haven't been sick in 6 years. And I brag about it. Guess what? I'm special. I haven't been sick in 6 years.
Sure. You run across somebody who's sick, somebody else who's sick. It's what we're looking at here. somebody who you look at and say that it's just not right what they're saying or doing, or if they've got this cancer diagnosis that isn't complete yet, they think they're sick, they believe they're sick. In fact, there's a part of them is a bit attracted to it. Well, they should get some sympathy and some pity and maybe some help and maybe some maybe they should get the bigger piece of pizza tonight because they're thick. Watch out for that ego. It's so clever, isn't it?
Yeah, just lesson 136, sickness is a defense against the truth.
Yes, there's so much in that lesson. That's like a 5-page lesson. You know, there's a lot in that simple little phrase. Indeed.
Yeah, these ones I do twice.
Oh yeah, okay. Twice.
Andrew, you always say, so you just said you're running around saying verify what I know. And I want to pair that with a sentence you always say, is that you know something that's not true.
Yes.
And so it just struck me when you said that, like, just verify what I know, because partnered with the other sentence, it's like, could describe most of our life, right?
You're right. You bet. And then you just stay.
And our conflicts and our everything.
And then you stay stuck in a little circle of your own personal private hell. Mm-hmm. I knew I was sick. I knew I was bad. I knew I wasn't worth it. I knew it wasn't worthwhile. I knew I was dumb. I knew I was whatever.
I knew I was right.
I knew I was right. And you just proved to me. And I called your right friend who tells you and supports you. And then you stay in your little box, circling.
But I also think that's what drives us to this class.
Yes.
Because all the suffering that goes along with thinking I'm right, I know it's not true.
Yes.
I know I'm not always right. I know that.
Yes.
And
yes.
I have to find the truth. And so here I am.
You're a seeker. There's another way. She says, she just said, there's another way. There is another way. And I'm going to find it. That's what she just said to me. Okay. Bridget, when you're ready.
Yeah.
Would you read for us paragraph 8? Now first, read for us aloud paragraph 7, sentence 1 again.
Seek not to make the Son of God adjust to his insanity.
Okay.
Does one ask judgment of what is totally bereft of judgment?
And what are we asking of here? Maybe you should read sentence 2 of paragraph 7 also, which explains what you would be appealing to if you were to follow this person's insane ideas.
Can we, because I wasn't here last week, can we read all of 7?
Yes. We can. Bridget, would you read all of 7 for us?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's a meaty one. It's definitely worthwhile. And it does inform 8 perfectly.
All right. There is...
Seek not
to make the Son of God adjust to his insanity. There is a stranger in him who wandered carelessly into the home of truth, and who will wander off?
Ego.
He came without a purpose, but he will not remain before the shining light of the Holy Spirit offered and you accepted. For there the stranger is made homeless, and you are welcome. Ask not this transient stranger, what am I? He is the only thing in all the universe that does not know. Yet it is he you ask, and it is his answer that you would adjust. This one wild thought, fierce in its arrogance, and yet so tiny and so meaningless, it slips unnoticed through the universe of truth, becomes your guide. To it, you turn to ask the meaning of the universe and of the one blind thing in all the seeing universe of truth, you ask, how shall I look upon the Son of God?
Leah, would you read verse 8, number 8?
Does one ask judgment of what is totally bereft of judgment? And if you have, would you believe the answer and adjust to it as if it were the truth? The world you look on is the answer that it gave you, and you have given it power to adjust the world to make its answer true. You ask this puff of madness for the meaning of your unholy relationship, and adjusted it according to its insane answer. How happy did it make you? Did you meet your brother with joy to bless the Son of God and give him thanks for all the happiness that he held out to you? Did you recognize your brother as the eternal gift of God to you? Did you see the holiness that shone in both you and your brother to bless the other? That is the purpose of your holy relationship. Ask not the means of its attainment of the one thing that still would have it be unholy. Give it no power to adjust the means and end.
Great. This is practical advice on how to tune into the Holy Spirit and have a holy relationship. Practical advice on how not to follow the ego in relationship. It's giving us a little guide on which way to turn in the relationship to get the strength out of it instead of more weakness. Okay. Okay, pretty obvious sentence one. We're talking about the ego here. It's paragraph 7. Ego's entered your assholy one in your life, the difficult person in your life. The ego's there and running the show. You know about this ego. It's very human. Yeah, let's not ask that. Let's not let that be the authority for what you are and what you should do. And if you have already, listen to what this person said and took it as the truth. Okay, sentence 2. If you have, would you believe the answer and adjust to it as if it were the truth? To be redundant here, to kind of catch you, to see if you've already believed that she has cancer in some way, and you're starting to react to it, even without having the truth. Watch yourself now. Sentence 3. The world you look on is the answer that it gave you. And you have given the world you look on power to adjust the world to make its answer true. How powerful is your mind to adjust to whatever you think is true? Look, I turn the key, there are no lights on the dashboard, that's a dead battery. Period. He's adjusted. Kenny has adjusted to a dead battery completely. And your mother with the cancer test. It's a cancer doctor, was not smiling. Told me it could be bad. It's bad. They always say it could be bad. They don't commit themselves. It's bad. She's committed. She's adjusted. This is an adjustment. Right? It's good. You ask this puff of madness, being the ego, weakness, vulnerability, for the meaning of your unholy relationship and adjusted it according to its insane answer, of course. Well, how's it working for you? That's what he's saying right now. How happy did that make you to appeal to weakness? Here's where we're getting super practical. How happy did it make you to believe the tractor was disabled? It's not going to run again this week until I get it. You know the tractor battery weighs like 70 pounds. You don't just go to the store and buy one of those. It's a big thing. It's a problem. I'm even sure Kenny could pick it up out of the tractor. This is a problem.
I got Rich to do it.
How happy did it make you? You know? It's super practical this next couple of sentences and this very sentence. You know that lesson 34? It says, very practically, it says, I could choose peace instead of blank. Whatever is in front of your face right then when your timer goes off.
Yeah.
And as Mary beautifully explained to us, you know, I'm starting to feel better by just letting go of these ugly thoughts. And Cecily has told us many times. there is a better way, and I'm doing it, and it's just better. Don't have all the answers. Wish it was easier, but damn it, it's better. So I'm continuing.
And that's Matt's I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, though, this, how happy did it make you, these messages from the ego.
Yes.
That we kind of want to believe. They, even though they don't make us happy, they promise happiness off in the future.
Nice.
Somehow.
Well said.
You know, like,
well said.
Yes. Like,
yes.
Well, we know it's this problem, and because of that, you know, we just need to go get this done and this done,
nice.
And then it'll be fixed, and it's really irritating, but we'll get it done this way, or if
yes.
we go meet this person of this kind of weekend and this kind of place, then we'll feel happy.
Yes.
And so, even though the thinking of these thoughts doesn't make us feel good, because we never actually get the happiness, we just get the promise of
wow,
happiness.
Wow, beautifully said.
Dorby.
Yes. Dorby! The promise of someplace else. The promise a little further off.
The good thing about understanding that for me is then I can have compassion for anybody else who's living in misery because of what they believe.
Oh my God. Did you feel the heaviness of what she just said? She just said that she can have compassion for other people who are believing their misery. And how miserable they must be. And that's a very heavy, dark place to be. And how the world has been made. Believing that their idea of sickness indeed is sad.
Yeah.
And leads to more sadness, by the way. Yeah.
I'm reading this section, Paul, Littleness.
Versus Magnitude.
Versus Magnitude.
Yeah.
The last few days. It was so good, I've been just reading it every day.
Nice.
And so what I'm getting out of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we hang on to our littleness with everything that we've got because we don't believe we can get the magnitude of what we are.
Yes.
And when we start to get in touch with that magnitude,
yes.
we don't even need compassion for everybody else because we don't see the problems in everybody else.
Yes.
So
very good, Kim.
And it says, at least that's what I read.
Yes.
It just takes practice and courage and tenacity.
Yes.
To fight the littleness that we are.
Very good.
No.
And that understanding allows us to actually be compassionate
mm-hmm.
without letting the person sink even further by affirming their sickness. Because
mm-hmm.
we know, our Holy Spirit says, this is not the problem they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the magnitude occurring even in this limit, what this world's limit. To have that transcendence allows you to bring light mm-hmm. into the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Perfectly said.
Yeah, and that's like the same exact like concept of the forgotten song, the idea like we feel like we have to give up what we have in order to get what's greater. And that's like that give up the littleness, you know, and it's
yes.
and it's exactly like you said, it's like scary because you're like, what if I give this up?
Yes.
And then there's not really anything there, or I'm not good enough to get there, right? There's like this trade-off period where you don't know.
You don't know. Yep.
Okay, yep. I need help tracking something.
Okay.
I work with somebody who just had a big cancer scare. Doesn't have cancer right now, but the doctor says 50% chance in 4 years you're going to have it, and it's going to mean A, B, and C. So, talking about it to everyone, announcing it at every class, it's become the big story. And I'm not going to talk him out of his story. I mean, I'm not getting too annoyed. I mean, every once in a while, I'm like, okay, we're doing the story again. And I can see that there's a place with which he's finds significance in himself regarding the story. Mm-hmm. And there is a little bit of this kind of wanting the story to be true, even though in the moment it's not true, he doesn't have cancer. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like he's looking forward to getting it again, which he probably not will. And the me 10 years ago would have been highly invested in all of this. And would have been going down the rabbit hole and coming back up out of the rabbit hole and going back down in the rabbit hole. And now I don't really feel like it's my job to change his mind or to have an opinion.
Yep.
Other than to just be loving.
Yep.
And hope for the best.
Yep.
And not take it too seriously.
Yep. And when you start to get...
act careless.
When you start to get the perspective that Kim was talking about... Mm-hmm. You can see the best is happening all the time. Mm-hmm. The magnitude of the one who has the cancer is not changed by the cancer. The littleness would be focused on by the ego.
Okay.
Did you know cancer is normal? Did you ever think about that? Cancer is your own self. It's normal.
Going on all the time.
Did you happen to know it's going on all the time? You had cancer today.
Right.
Everybody. But your body caught it, for most of you. It's normal. And did you know that people die every day of cancer? It's normal. Lives don't last forever. Some get cancer, some don't. Some die at this age, and some don't. When you get out of the mud on anybody's in particular story, because whether it's cancer... or whether it's polio, or whether it's a sciatica, or whether it's any other situation we can have
eczema.
With the body. What?
Eczema.
Or whether it's eczema. Yeah. Yeah.
It's an image I don't want to have in my mind.
Or whether it's migraine headaches, you know, or it's sleep problems, or it's menopause. All these things, oh, come on. It goes on and on how you can be special with sickness.
Right.
On and on.
Or a relationship.
Or a relationship and possibilities. Mm-hmm. You bet. Yeah.
So if you're... Okay.
The only answer is to transcend them all as the same level.
As a space holder of the... Because we all have people in our lives. We do it at times. Our friends do it at times. Our family does it at times. Because I'm likely to be the person who... I can tell someone wants to feel special.
Yep.
So I'll just... shine on them and help them feel special.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that I'm believing in their story or affirming their story. I can recognize, especially with his mom, mm-hmm. that she just wants attention.
Yeah.
So I just skip the story and I give her attention.
And that's kind. Sometimes it's really kind and playful and it's a relationship, and I'm not saying you have to stop that. Mm-hmm. But I am saying you must become aware of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. For you. Are you appealing to the insanity in his mother for that character? Are you appealing to insanity for its definition of you? Are you appealing to that situation to define what you are? Mm-hmm. That's where I want you to pay attention.
Okay.
Their life is their life. What they do is what they do. We're not going to go heal the world. That was the opposite of our curriculum. You is what matters. Healing you.
But isn't she talking about that she's not doing the first sentence of number 7?
Good. This is what we want. We want you aware of what you're doing. And then you can play with the world and do with the world. Be kind. Absolutely. No problem with that. Your atonement is what we're after. Mm-hmm. Your healing is what we're after.
And then but the issue would be driving an identity around the person that is being nice to a person for it's a like, particular... I mean, is that...
Not letting your ego then get significant. Oh, look at me. I'm so nice to the person who wants to be...
Right.
Pampered or coddled or babied
or rather that they're not a demonstration for you of how you would act were you in the same situation. This is not appropriate proper way for you to celebrate sickness. They're kind of celebrating sickness in a way, idolizing, celebrating, fearing, if you will, an old word from the Bible which just means high respect, right? Okay, don't let that be a model for you.
So
because who's doing the lessons 160, she said. Yeah. You're figuring out it's starting to hint pretty heavily. You're not actually a body. So to be idolizing things of the body like that doesn't serve you anymore as you awaken.
Okay.
But it isn't also true that Leah was demonstrating a way of loving her mother-in-law?
That's why I say, be kind.
She's saying she's being kind by being loving towards her.
And that's wonderful. But watch out.
Yeah, because I can see the ego trap. I like being special.
Yeah.
So if I can tell that someone's just giving me a story when what they're really asking for is to feel special and have attention, I'm the first person to go ahead and make them feel special and give them attention, because I would like that too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you would get attention if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. You're learning how to do exactly what she
did. My story might be different, but...
It might be different.
Yeah.
But the laws are being laid in line. The tools are being installed.
So then what's wrong with being special? I guess would be the deeper question.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I love it. That's what that a girl.
Does that mean I can't be special?
That a girl. That a girl.
That's it. I'm leaving this class. I'm like, every day I'm in
trouble. It has many different meanings, the word special, just like the word love does.
Indeed. Indeed. Now that's the good question to ask. Stay with that.
All right.
Stay with that and don't accept anybody's answer. Stay with that question as you read your Course in Miracles. Hey, wait a minute. What's wrong with being special? Let that be your guide. There's nothing wrong with being special. Come on. Special is good. What do you understand? You start to learn, what does this book mean by special? What does it cost? And what's being blocked by this devotion to being special? Now, indeed, the book also says you have a special part. It uses that word now. You have a special... You, Leah, have a special part in God's plan for salvation of the world. You're very special. Let's have special, though, from the right authority. Because special from the wrong authority is really dirty. And it stinks. And it'll cost you. It's conditional! Perfect word. Special from the ego's point of view turns out to be very conditional. And whatever was good about it can be taken away very quickly. And that just sucks. But wasn't I special enough to you to deserve this?
Well, isn't catch. Special sort of like winning and it requires a loser? I'm more special than anybody, then somebody's got to be less special.
That's right. That's right. That's one of the principles of specialness. Is that in order for one to gain, another must lose. Yeah. I mean, that's the way the world works.
We can't all be special.
But I think, well, that's not my special rules.
Okay, nice.
My rule of special is that everyone is special. There's nobody left out of being special.
Excellent.
Well, if everyone is special, is that another way of saying nobody is?
Yeah, right.
We're just different in our special
ways.
Yeah, we're different in our special ways.
Yeah, well, my thumb prints mine.
Yeah.
The vibration of my name is the vibration of my name. It's like, really you guys have your own vibrational names and your own thumbprint.
Yep.
How can they be compared?
Yeah. No, there's
it
a whole.
It's more like unique.
That's another word for unique.
Yeah, there's a very healthy, a very healthy and truthful specialness.
Right.
Because actually, no two are alike. So everybody's special. By requirement of unity, there are no duplicates. So everybody's special. Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. When this says special, let it educate you on this ego trap.
Well, just speed me along. What is special? Crash course.
I want it now.
Sin means something else. What does special mean? Yeah. Give me the definitions.
Julie nailed it.
What'd you say?
Specialness is conditionally good.
So special.
If it's unconditional, the specialist you're talking about is unassailable. Okay. It's always special, forever, always, and appreciated by everybody. Mm-hmm. You're good.
Okay.
You're good to go. But if some places it's good, other places it's not good. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not right.
Gotcha.
Because it leads back to lack.
Okay.
I don't have it now. Mm-hmm. And what do I need to do to get it?
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I have one question.
Yeah.
So I see, I start to sometimes feel like, not being authentic, or I'm not compassionate anymore because of how I saw my path lead out. Like, all the pain I've been through has led me to where I'm so grateful to be.
Yes.
So when I hear people talk about their woes and all this other stuff,
yes.
where I used to feed into it and be like, oh, but like, oh, this poor person. Now it's kind of like I see the bigger picture.
Oh, man, sister.
Of what, yeah, I'm like, oh, you're going through this because I'm like, it might feel like the worst thing right now, but I'm like in my head, I'm like, yes, going through it, man. Mm-hmm. We're going to wake the fuck up. Uh-huh. Excuse my language.
That's right. They got a chance
but
now.
I'm like, yeah, Dawn, but like, come back in. Like, you can't, you, it's not you to stop someone's path. Like, everyone's
right.
on their own path.
Right. But don't try to
like,
fix them.
Yeah, I'm like, is there something wrong with me? I'm like, am I like heartless now? Do I not have compassion? Because I can see the bigger picture now. So like in my house, I live with 9 other women and they're in recovery. So there's a lot of poor me's and victims and all this stuff in my house. And like, I just see how sick everyone is. And I'm like, I'm just there now. I've just learned to like not feed in. It's like, be like, just love.
That's right.
Just like imagine them healing.
Yes.
Or just being in the room and just imagine, like, like every time I'm around them, I just imagine light around everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I, like, even put music on. It's, like, high vibrational. Yeah. But, like, I'm just, like, I always question myself that before I go to bed. I always question everything I did during the day. Where was I? Like, what was I doing that day? Was I right? Was I kind? Was I compassionate?
Yeah.
But, like, it always comes back to that question of myself. Like, are you being true? Are you really being compassionate? Because a lot of people are like, you're passive aggressive. And I'm like, but I just don't see those things anymore. Like, they don't come in. Like, people that used to come in my path when I was that way, it was like everyone was negative. But now it's like I'm higher than that. But I don't want to say that because that's ego. And I'm
to
like,
yourself, you can. And in this room, you can. Because you actually are higher than that. The ego is very low. And it's bitter. And it's about loss. And the higher way, there's only two levels. You know, it's either down or up.
Yeah.
You're on the upswing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going up the staircase. The higher way is compassionate and understanding, and it might be quieter than the lower way who would dig right in or even try to fix somebody.
Yeah.
There's a section here that says, beware of trying to fix your brother. It has that? I think it's those exact words.
Yeah.
Trying to fix your brother's problems. And you know that already. You're not going there because you know. sure,
when I was fixing people, I realized when I look back now, it wasn't because I was trying to fix them. It was because I was trying to fix me, and because I was escaping, I didn't want to focus on me. So I put out, oh, if I help this person, it somehow is going to help me. But it was just another escape, just like drugs and alcohol and sex and you know, like all those addictions.
Yeah. So you're becoming an authority on recovery because you're recovering. You fit all of the descriptions that we just had from an authority because you're wise now, you've got the knowledge now, you've actually done it, you've authored your own recovery. Hello, personal story here. Recovery. So you got some cred.
That's what I was going to say. My thought was experience. Like, my authority would be somebody who's gone through the ringer, not someone, like, I wouldn't go to someone who's never had a weight problem in their life to, like, lose weight and get information from them. I would go to someone who used to weigh 300 pounds and lost it all by themselves.
Yes.
So, like,
if somebody wanted to study Course in Miracles, is Course in Miracles worth studying at all? I would send them to Mary right now. But you know what? Go just ask Mary. Just ask her to give you some feedback on what it's doing for her. That's all. And then you make your decision.
Yeah.
And if you got a tractor problem, I'm going to get one in 2,000. Kitty.
I'll get you the number.
Is that person calmly, like you, calmly, did not panic with Kenny. Did not share in his idea that 75-pound, $280 battery was dead. And tractor's not going to run for a week. And this is a problem. You will not share. And this book supports that hugely. It says, you know, watch out, for the ego wants to be able to commiserate with people and think that that's kind. That's the ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's not kind, it's an attack. It's supporting their problem.
And it makes it more real for you, too.
And it makes it more real for you, too, which is what we're counseling Leah on here. Make sure you don't make these problems more real. It's okay if you're compassionate and sweet and kind to your mother. Please. Mothers deserve it. But don't be teaching yourself weakness. And you know better. You're not going there because you know better.
I've had this experience more than once where I've been with a friend or a family member and their lives are falling apart. and they'll be bawling, and all I can see is life and beginning.
Yes.
And they'll be just like in torture, bawling, everything, their heart is broken, whatever. And I'm like, I am so excited for you. You are in such a great place. I know you have no idea, but this is where you're going. And when you get to this place and you have found that piece of yourself that you didn't know you had, call me and tell me I'm excited. And they're like, go away now. But, you know, it's such a great thing. I go, you're not dying, you're birthing, and birthing is painful, you know.
Yes, that's right.
And so, yeah.
And you know the passage they have to go through. You can see it.
I've been through it.
You've been through it.
Yeah.
And it truly is, your heart is lighter. This is enlightenment about a dark subject. Literally, you're lighter than they are in that situation. You've been through it. You are an authority on it. You've been through some ugly ones. And you know that hitting bottom is one of the requirements before you turn up.
Yeah, it's like my daughter's going through it right now. She's feeling it. But she's realizing. She's like, everyone's a mirror, Mom. She's like, everything's like a pattern. She's telling me today, crying. And I'm telling her, I feel all this love, and I feel connected to everything. Yeah. And then she said to me, I think you had to go through all this for me to be okay, because no one else understands me but you.
Wow, that's sweet for a mother.
Yeah, she's miserable, and I'm like, I'm over here going, she's feeling it now at 21. She doesn't have to wait till she's 39 to go through this hell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's young going through it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why when she's coming out of here, she's like, I can't wait to come out of here.
Oh, yeah.
But
this is true.
I'm like, yes.
This is true.
Like, what a mean mom I am. Like, most moms would be like, coddling their child. I was coddled my whole life. That's what took me so long to grow. So I'm not coddling her. I'm like, sorry that I'm laughing right now on the other end. Yeah. I'm like, because I see the beauty and the growth that's going to come out of this experience you're going through right now.
Yes, very good. Very good. That's helpful. Good.
And it's just light. And I felt peaceful as I was saying it to her. I felt this like peace come over me. And we were crying on the phone together today for like 2 hours.
Yeah,
it was
nice. Nice. Good.
Because we're so lucky in this group, because all of us, everyone in this world, I'm kind of fired up tonight. But we're all seeking ourselves, and we don't know how to get there, and we don't know how to do it. And this gives us the tools to find our true self.
Yes.
And we can't be truly happy or see the peace and love of our whole perspective changes when we know our true self.
Yes. The tools to find our true self, it gives us the permission to let go of our old self,
and it has the
authority.
Us the guide. This gives us the guide that I was never able to find this guide.
Yes.
Out there,
yes.
In church,
yes.
Anywhere,
yes.
So that's what it gives.
What it gives me is the freedom.
Yes.
It gives me the freedom to be who I am.
Yes,
because it says you're innocent. God says you're innocent, and it says I don't have to take care of anybody else.
Yep.
Because I was wrapped up in being a caretaker, and didn't have a clue who I was. Mm-hmm. So this book is telling me. All your job is to find out who I am.
Yes.
It's the only thing it's saying.
This is your job.
Yeah.
And it would take some authority to be able to be that guide. And this does provide that. Oh my God, in spades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I found nothing else that offers this authority to guide me to my higher self, with the next step waiting for me to discover.
Mm-hmm.
And then take that step, and then press hard on that stair, and then I go up with it. I mean, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my experience too. Beautiful. Okay, we have just a couple of minutes to finish this up real quick. Okay, so top of the page on 431, he says basically, how's it working for you? How can it make you to ask the ego opinion on what you? Okay, here's what you could. If you were to appeal to the Holy Spirit instead of the ego, what you could experience. Okay? Did you meet your brother with joy to bless the Son of God and give him thanks for all the happiness that he held out to you when he said those God-awful words that he should never say to you? Or did that horrible thing nobody should do? Is that how you saw it, Bunky? Did you see this as a gift for you?
I tried! I really tried! And I only offended further.
Right. Alright! You said remedial a couple months ago, and sometimes you gotta go back, and then that's right. At least you tried, Bridget.
I'm wondering if it's not easier to say, you're right, I was wrong. You know, just...
Well, sometimes your mouth may say that. Just like for the mother that you're working with. You will say things that mean something to the world. That doesn't mean the same thing to you anymore. Because mm-hmm. of your awakening.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. might say compassionate things to these mm-hmm. addicts as they're working it. Mm-hmm. That helped you. Way below you now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean the same thing to you. More, but you know what it might for them,
yeah.
it might be compassionate to say, sure, sure.
It's relating to them on where that on the level that they're at, and
that's compassion.
We also don't do that on our own.
That's compassion.
But yes,
and understanding and knowledge and wisdom and all these great things that an authority would have to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very good. Okay, did you meet your brother with joy to bless the Son of God? And give him thanks for all the happiness that he held out to you when he said that horrible thing, right? Did you recognize your brother as the eternal gift of God to you when he did not pay back that loan and said he never will? Go F yourself? Is that how you took that? Did you see the holiness that shone in both of you and your brother to bless the other as two of you stood face to face? And he slammed the door in your face. Is that how you took it? Well, that's the purpose of your holy relationship, period. Short sentence, means a lot. That is the purpose of your holy relationship. The unholy relationship has a whole litany of defense and attack that's quite appropriate and could probably go through the court system to get some foundation. Sure, sure. But that's not what we're here to learn and to awaken to, so you can have a happier life and a happier mind, a peaceful night's sleep. You must have the holy relationship aspect. Ask not the means of the holy relationship's attainment of the one thing that still would have it be unholy, and that's your brother's ego and their opinion of themselves. Give it no power to adjust the means and end. Whew. I'm moving my marker to paragraph 9. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath.
Hold it.
Oh, my
tongue.
Hold it.
You will appeal to an authority that is beyond you, or you will appeal to the authority that is equal to you. You will never go beneath yourself. Don't worry about that. If you're not happy with what's going on, appeal to an authority that is beyond you. I think we found one in A Course in Miracles. I've been testing it for years and years. I've been pushing on it, pulling on it, challenging it with life and with death, with uncertainties, with troubles, and with happiness too that was snatched away. I've been working this book on all these things, and yet it continues to offer a peace, a bigger picture. It's proven to me that the authority it is showing me is in my own mind as the Holy Spirit, and it's just waiting to be asked. So, be confident there is a better way. And always take a moment to look for it with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey.
You turned my heart. The story
there.
I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So that would be cool. And some of the other things, too. Just, how are things?
Excuse me, ladies.
Take care.